are listening to Wells Tech, episode 606, recorded on Tuesday, July 23rd, 2019, Women's Ministry. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. The show today, we continue our conversation with Congregational Services team members, and Don Doberstein was at the Women's Ministry Conference held in Watertown, Wisconsin last week, and Sally was also there and did some interviews with Don and a couple other folks who were presenting or attending. I think you're going to enjoy the conversations with those folks and some of the great ministry that was talked about and encouraged at that Women's Ministry Conference. We have our picks. Sally's going to talk about how she did all that recording in such fine fashion. And I'm going to talk about Emoji Day, which was last week. Didn't even know that that happened. All that and more. Stay tuned. Everybody, this is Wells Tech, and we're recording on July 23rd. This is episode 606 of the year 2019. Show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And joining me in that discussion, as usual, Sally Draper, just across the table today. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. I'm coming off of a really exciting weekend at the Wells Women's Ministry Conference. Excited to talk about it today on Wells Tech.
Yeah, that's going to be the topic, and the adult discipleship group is really kind of leading the charge here, right? They're in that area, and Congregational Services is the umbrella organization that we've been talking to off and on over the last few months, and we've explored different things like special ministries, prison ministries. And now we get into a very specific, but an area, a very specific ministry, but an area that kind of is a good news story for all the women across the Synod, and that's probably about half our members, right?
Yeah, I actually heard that several times this past weekend. I tag-teamed just a tiny bit with Pastor Don Doberstein, who leads the discipleship area in Congregational Services, and who was presenting at the conference. And I was able to bring them a little bit of a tech time out, share with them the Wells mobile app, the Wells app. Mm-hmm. And one of the things Pastor Doberstein said in his presentation, which I heard five times because of tag teaming, like I said, is that the Synod membership is made up of half women. Right. And why would we put our soldiers on the bench? And so he was all about equipping. We'll talk to him in a few minutes about that.
Very good. So it was a two and a half day. What was the conference like?
Kicked off Thursday evening with a keynote and some fellowship time, and then full day Friday and half day Saturday. So I don't think that even adds up to two full days, but it was a great time. I think there were about 330 women present.
Neat.
They had four keynotes, three devotions, two full worship services, and six breakout sessions. It was jam-packed,
that
in
is,
other words.
Right.
So we were busy people, and we survived the heat. This was a big heat wave time. I say we survived. I did not spend the nights in the LPS dorm rooms like many of the women there.
The unconditioned LPS dorms, yes.
Right. They gave them fans, and they were still standing by the end, so I take it they got a little bit of rest, even despite the heat.
Right. So the theme of the conference, I'm assuming it had a theme?
It did. It had a well-thought-out and well-integrated theme. It was called Living Stones Positioned to Thrive. And it was based on 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5, which say, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And I talked with one of the presenters, and they said, so much prep went into centering the conference on those verses that not only did the keynote speakers study them in depth, and we kind of got them broken down throughout the flow of the keynotes, but even the sectional presenters had Bible studies together as they looked at these and related them to the topics that they were going to be presenting mm-hmm. in their sectionals, and it really showed. The theme was really something that everyone left very excited about, and at the end of the day, the table decorations were stones in a vase that had a cross on the stone, and they had us each take one as a reminder of being living stones. So it was very well done.
Neat. And hopefully at these conferences, one of the big gifts to the attendees is the fellowship, you know, making new friends, having neat conversations, right?
I'm assuming
that is for you too.
Very true. And I was there solo and kind of was, you know, maybe went into it as I'm reporting for Wells Tech. I'm just here as an observer. And that's not the way it turned out. It turned out that everyone was connected to everyone else in so many ways. And every meal I sat down at or event that I attended, I met new people. And they told me about exciting things going on in their congregation and ways they were serving. And it was just really uplifting for everyone.
Okay. But you did take your microphone along and you had some conversations with a number of people. Tell us who the first interview is that we're going to play here.
Sure. I was very excited to talk to Michelle Birschbach. She is actually an attorney practicing in the Sheboygan area in Wisconsin. And she was one of the six breakout leaders. She, I shouldn't say there were six breakouts. Some of the breakouts had different topics at different times. But anyway, she did a presentation on when water cooler talk can land you in hot water. And I was very impressed by not only her presentation, but by the engagement and interest that was evident by the people attending her presentation. And you'll hear a little more of that in the interview.
I'm happy to have Michelle Birschbach joining me this afternoon. She was one of the breakout leaders at the Wells Women's Ministry Conference. And I'm going to let her introduce herself to you.
Thank you so much. My name is Michelle Birschbach. I'm an attorney that practices in the Manitowoc and Sheboygan area. I'm a member of St. John, St. Peter Evangelical Lutheran Church in Cleveland, Wisconsin, conveniently in between Manitowoc and Sheboygan. So I felt very honored to be able to help present at these breakout sessions.
That's awesome. And your topic dealt with your profession as being an attorney. It was a very popular topic. It seemed the room was packed each time you gave your presentation, and there was a lot of interaction and things. People were very interested. Why is it, do you think, that Christians are so interested and affected by the issues you brought forth?
Well, I think it's because we all know that we're charged to go forth and witness and be prepared to witness and to talk about our faith loudly and boldly and proudly. But it's scary. The world has rules and laws, and we don't know what we can do as an employee, and we don't know what we can do in public schools, and people want a little bit of direction so that they can feel comforted that, you know, here are the boundaries. This is what I can do. This is what I can't do. And hopefully that gives them courage and confidence to be able to go forth and do what they're required to do.
That's awesome. So as I said in on your session, I heard the phrase knowing your audience or know your audience. That was like a recurring theme. Can you share some examples of why that's important?
Absolutely. I mean, we all have situations where the law says A, B, or C, but we can sometimes push the boundaries on that a little bit if we know our audience. So, for example, if you're working in an environment where you know that everyone is a Christian, you can maybe more comfortably and more boldly talk about things where if you work in an environment that has a diverse religious population, you might be a little more reserved about how you approach it. So when I say know your audience, I think that helps you understand where you can push, where you can't push, and where you really need to understand the rules very carefully so you don't get yourself into hot water.
Excellent. So I think I would echo the sentiment of many moms in thinking, you know, what's the world's going to be like for my child and my grandchildren as we see all the rapid changes around us that are happening in our world. Can you foresee legal challenges that are affecting Christians in our future?
Well, I think we certainly are becoming more and more of a politically correct world where we try to keep separation of church and state. But if there's anything that people should have taken away from my breakout session, is that just because there's separation of church and state doesn't mean there's a lack of ability to express your faith in the proper circumstances. And so I think that we have to be careful not to just assume you can't, but instead to get the actual facts so you know when you can. And going forward, I don't think the laws are going to change. I mean, these rules are based upon the Constitution and the First Amendment to the Constitution, which is pretty old, but I think it's the interpretation of it and how more frequently it comes up in this society that's so much more diverse, and so many people, I think, are more aware of their rights. So I don't think the laws are going to change. It's going to be the interpretation and how often issues arise. So I think we have to be careful, but we also have to be Christians, and it's balancing the two that is going to be very difficult for parents and for everybody.
Excellent. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to give us a little insight into the sectional you've presented. I know a lot of ladies walked away with a lot of great information, so thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Michelle. Thank you, Sally, for grabbing her and sharing a little bit of that. Sounds like there's a lot more that could be gleaned from Michelle and some of the things that she was talking about.
Very true. I was kind of kicking myself after the fact that I didn't ask her 20 more questions,
right?
Because she was a wealth of knowledge and very enthusiastic to share it. So hopefully maybe we can connect with Michelle in the future and maybe have her own for a longer interview on Wells Tech.
What she was talking about, applied to everybody, right?
For
Everybody's
sure.
got those questions. So who's up next?
Next up, we had a special friend of the show. Alicia Cameron was willing to sit down with me, and she was an attendee. I want to say maybe it was her first time to be there,
so.
Just like mine. Mm-hmm. And she's very involved in her local congregation. That'll come out in the interview. And she also has a special tie to Wells Tech.
And she'll tell us about that too. So let's hear from Alicia.
Joining me now on Wells Tech is Alicia Cameron. Alicia is from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and she has a little bit of a Wells Tech tie, but I'll let her tell us about that as she introduces herself to our listeners.
Hi, I'm Alicia Cameron. I am currently living in Sheboygan. We attend church at Howard's Grove at St. Paul's in Howard's Grove. I'm there with my husband Thomas and my two little boys, one age 5 and one age 3. And I'm excited to be joining you, Sally. I am Martin Sprigg's daughter.
Ooh, lucky us. Awesome. And you are a first-time attendee at the Wells Women's Ministry Conference, is that right?
That's correct, right. Yeah.
So we're really curious about your impressions so far. Have you had any big aha moments?
I have loved it. I didn't quite know what to expect, and I am blown away by the professional presentations and just how many things are hitting my heart. We're totally focused on 1 Peter and 2 Peter and the way that everything is tied together into being this living stone that we're talking about has been really, really neat to see throughout every presentation, every keynote. I've just been blown away.
Me too. I can second that. So I'm excited to talk to you, Alicia, because you haven't really been at St. Paul's for very long, yet you're very involved with the women's ministry efforts there. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about all the irons in the fire that you have going on there.
Sure. Yeah, I've been really blessed to have a space to do what my ministry calling really is and where my heart wants to serve. We have a really growing congregation, growing from the inside. We have had a new baby every month for the past like year and a half, and it's not going to stop. I know at least 4 more pregnant moms, and so it's just growing, and the amount of moms are growing then too, and it God has placed it on my heart to really minister to moms and to connect with them and to foster connections within them and keep them connected to Christ in this really, really busy hands-on season of motherhood when we've got kids at home who need us, if not 24/7, close to 24/7. And so I have been blessed to be able to serve by creating a moms group that's doing a lot of neat things, even in just the 1 year that it's been started.
So maybe tell us a little bit more about that. Is it really Bible study focused? Is it kid focused? Or how do you manage all that?
Yeah, we've kind of balanced both. So we have a Wednesday morning meetup for any mom that wants to come, and we vary between 1 week is Bible study with childcare provided, which is really nice, so moms can focus on the Word without their kids around and really get that one thing that's needed. And then the next week we have a play date, an activity day, where we've got a couple planned activities. I've got a mom that partners with me on that. Amanda Bodie is really great at using her preschool skills and creating some fun activities for them, and then we let them run around the gym or in the summertime we meet up at a park and moms get to chat and mingle and just kind of encourage one another on a daily and intimate basis.
That's awesome. So any big surprises come out of this ministry over the past year?
I'm not so sure it's been a surprise, but things have kind of grown a little bit organically. We've started some mom's night outs, so moms can come and enjoy fellowship in the evening. That appeals to some of the more working moms that can't get there during the day. And I've just been really pleased that people come. I have kind of created the mom's group that I would want to be a part of, and other moms have joined me in this, and that's really nice. One really cool thing that's come out of one of our mom's night outs, so we had a tea party, and we had a small devotion attached to that where we were talking about filling your cup. And in Psalm 23, David talks about my cup overflows. Well, what's your cup flowing with? Are you filling it with things of the world? Are you filling it with God's word? One of the moms threw out a suggestion of how to fill your cup of having an accountability partner, or really wanting an accountability partner for doing daily Bible reading or getting closer to God's word. And everybody's head in the room nodded. And I looked around and went, ooh, there's an idea here. So I worked with our pastors to create a reading plan and kind of threw it out there and went, here, we're going to start this challenge. We're going to call it a Berean Bible Reading Challenge and see if anybody wants to read through the whole Bible in 1 year together. And so in Acts, Luke talks about the Bereans being in the Bible daily and how they were researching what Paul said. And so that's really what we're striving for. So we created the plan and broke it up into 12 months, and I wanted to encourage everyone to keep going. So we've got a group chat started, a Google Hangout, and as you do your daily reading, you can comment in there, you can ask questions in there, and other moms that are doing the readings, and there's been some really good conversation back and forth, and after you do your daily reading, you get to check it off the bookmark that we created, and that's been a really good motivating factor for some moms. But a couple of things that have come from that I was not really expecting is we had an opportunity to talk about different versions of the Bible and how to fit this into your day. And some moms got really excited about buying a new Bible to do this challenge with, or somebody shared that they had Bible highlighters, specific Bible highlighters, and everybody went, ooh, that's fun, and ordered some of those. So a couple of people bought a coloring Bible, or somebody took it as an opportunity to start with the EHV and read through a different translation that they hadn't read before. But we've talked about how to fit it into our daily busy lives, and some moms had no idea that an audio version existed where you could just get an app on your phone that would read it to you. So they're listening to it in the car on the way to work, or playing it when they fold laundry, or fitting it in around. And we've been able to share, how are you getting this in, and how are you staying connected, and are you getting behind? Can we help you catch up? And this accountability has really come to play. It's been really encouraging to see. So we got 30 moms to sign up from all different aspects of the congregation, moms that wouldn't regularly get to interact, or maybe you go to a different service, or maybe you're at the Monday night service and don't see other people on a regular Sunday morning, or maybe you're gone a lot or whatever, but these moms are connecting on a daily basis in God's word, and it's been really, really neat.
I love the tech tie too. So you're online if you aren't seeing each other face to face.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what's made it possible for a lot of these moms.
That's awesome. How far along are you in the reading plan?
Well, we are 19 days in. So we have just started. We started in July. So, talk to me about how it went in, 350 some days. But yeah, it's been really encouraging so far.
So a neat part of your story to me is that you're really brand new at this congregation. You've only been there maybe a year or so. And I
commend you for getting this involved this quickly. And so I'm just really curious, like, what would other people do if they had a desire to get involved?
I would say just ask, you know, talk to your pastor about what your passions are. So one of our pastors came to our house for an early home visit and got to know us a little better. And I shared that, you know, I had come from a mom's group and that's really what I was looking for, but they didn't have that. And our pastors and the whole ministry team has just really given us the space to be able to do this and the support and said, yeah, we'll support you in whatever you need. Please create this ministry. So just asking and saying, here's where my heart is it possible for me to serve in this way, has been my door into being able to set this up.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you and to visit with you all throughout the conference. I hope that you continue to enjoy the Living Stones and take that back to your group as well.
Thanks, Sally. It's totally my pleasure. Thanks.
We were watching the boys while her two sons, while she was at the conference, and we were obviously happy to do that. But she came back really enthusiastic and not only made some great new connections, but saw some old friends too, but had an opportunity to grow. And I think it only emboldened and encouraged her even more to work at that ministry where God has her planted now.
Yeah, I was super excited just to absorb some of her enthusiasm. She's got a lot of desire to serve, and she's making it happen, and that's really exciting to see. And I think her story is a lot like many of the women that were there. There are many women out there doing some really exciting mm-hmm. things, and I was just happy to get a chance to tap into Alicia, and maybe it inspires some of our listeners to take on a Bible reading project or a mom's group in a similar fashion.
One of the real blessings, at least from my vantage point, my observations of her work there and just talking with her, is the support she gets from the pastoral staff. Just you know, whatever it takes, you know, you've got a passion and you have some gifts that you want to use in his service and at our congregation, we're going to support you to 110%. And boy, that is invaluable.
Yeah, and I think that shows in her confidence to try new things, because
sure.
Maybe you'd be a little bit leery, like, what am I getting myself into? But when there's so much support, you're willing to do more mm-hmm. and to be more involved in things. So very exciting to see.
Yep. And you live a little bit more dangerously even maybe, you know, try new things and mm-hmm. you know, fail forward. And that's a good environment in which to do ministry. So, and then we wrapped it up with
one more interview. This time I mentioned earlier, an interview with Pastor Don Dieberstein, who's over the discipleship area and who was presenting at the conference on a topic titled, How Do I? Equipping Christian Women for Action. And I'm going to tell you, I was the last 5 minutes of his presentation. We had 45 minutes allocated, and I didn't start until at least 45 minutes were past. This man was working hard to get in all the ways
that
we
stuff.
Are equipped yeah. as women to take action. And the second day, he cut 10 slides, and he still went to at least 45 or 50 minutes
right.
in all that he had to share. It was really exciting to see the women really engaging in his presentation as well.
Very good. Let's listen to that conversation.
Joining me for Wells Tech today from the Wells Women's Ministry Conference is Pastor Don Dieberstein. Sorry about that. And he is here presenting on the topic of equipping Christian women for action. Maybe before we dive into that, Pastor, you can tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Sally. I'm a 24-year parish pastor. I spent 22 of them in mission parishes, one in Topeka, Kansas, and then about 17 and a half years down in Port Orange, which is Daytona Beach, Florida. And then in 2017, accepted the call to a kind of a new position, but it was a position that had for the last decade didn't exist. And it was kind of a combination between youth and family ministry and adult discipleship. And the two were put together, and so Wells Discipleship.
Awesome. Thank you for filling that need. That's a wonderful blessing, I'm sure, to many. So we are excited to be here together at the Wells Women's Ministry Conference. And you, in particular, are presenting on this Equipping Women for Action, which is, I'm guessing people are coming here ready to get busy in their local congregations and things. So what kind of things are you equipping them with as they attend your session?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that we discussed. One was, all of us are called to be ambassadors of Christ. And according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, as we prepare our hearts to set aside Christ as Lord, Peter's directive was, then let's get ready and let's get prepared to give an answer for our faith. But if we're going to do that, let's do it with gentleness and with respect. So how do we prepare ourselves for that? So we talked, the first thing that we talked about is before, how do I do it? How does God, with his strength, fill my need? And so without that, I'm always going to be frustrated and asking, I'm not getting it done. Well, it's because we need him more than we need to be talking about us. So we discussed that first. And then we did take a look at the challenges that are facing women. If women are in need of resources, why? We discussed a little the cultural shift that is happening in America between perhaps like a grandma who's attending this conference. But what about the middle-aged mother with children? But then what about our youth today? They are represented by millennials, the Generation Z. And you can see the seismic shift in what was yesterday's family versus the different shades of what's considered family today. So instead of the two-parent home, there's more and more, what are the resources if you're a single parent? What are the resources in your congregation when some couples, they're simply cohabitating? So the shift in families, we need to understand that, because that's not just happening in American culture and in pagan families. That's happening in our families. And its impact upon our churches and upon how especially younger generations are identifying themselves, it is absolutely remarkable. 40 to 45% of millennials and Generation Z do not affiliate themselves religiously. It means in the past, it was unchurched. Not anymore. They're not even familiar with the concept of church. How do you reach them? And then have our congregations been able to keep up in ministry with the pace of all these cultural changes? So then the third part simply was resources. What are we going to what are the resources that we're going to equip ourselves with? And so I channeled my inner woman. And I just Google searched Christian women resources, and I came up with a bunch of websites. I went to one, and I looked at it. It's beautiful. You see the same terms and words that they're using are ones that I think a Christian woman would be like, yeah, that's what I need. You know, I need to become how to strengthen my Christian marriage, how to strengthen to make me a better mother. How do I do this in a group with others that are looking for the same thing that I am, and providing Bible studies and blogs and devotions? And then I thought, well, this is kind of cool. Where's this coming from? And I did a little digging. It took me about 15, 20 minutes, and a couple of mouse clicks later, I found out the background of it, and it's someone who actually has no church affiliation. So even though she came from a Protestant church, she decided Martin Luther went too far and was dividing the church back in his day rather than repairing the church. And she decided, I can't be a Protestant anymore. And so the question I asked the women is, now, who do you want leading and equipping you with resources for your faith? And we talked about the need for one word, discernment. How do we shed light on what is that which is truth and that which is lie, that which is pure versus that which is polluted, from confusion to how can we be clear. And so we talked about some practical tips. Number one, if I'm going to practice discernment with resources, I'm not going to do it alone. I'm going to search out people who are smarter than I am and make sure that before I start using materials, I want to check them out a little bit deeper. And then I think that God has absolutely blessed us already with a wealth of resources, not just from a 21st century, but going back decades, yes, even 100 or more years. And how do you unlock those resources? And, well, Sally, that's more where you come in, because a lot of these resources can be accessed with technology. It's just, I think the number one thing that I came away with hearing from the women is, how do I find them, and how do I get to them without them being buried?
So, yeah, you make a great point about the discerning heart, and that, you know, in this day and age, everything's just a few keystrokes away with Google. And we all need to be aware, to be fed by God's word, and then be aware. And I love, you know, relying on smarter people than you and, you know, reaching out to others and helping to decipher what the message really is that you're receiving from different sources and things. So you included links in your presentation to things like the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary essay file, which is just full of great content. And we talked about the Wells app as well. So Martin would be happy because that's a great thing. So how about you give me a little bit of a sense for how you as conference planning committee type people feel about this particular event here in 2019?
Having come from one of the keynote addresses and being in a gymnasium that is absolutely packed, they're all women. I can count on one hand the number of guys who are there, and that includes me. And as I'm looking at them, it really struck me, this is a reflection of our churches. Half of the membership of all of our churches, they're women. Half of our church body are women. Why would we take our Christian godly women and sideline them with the gifts and abilities and resources that they have in service, both to gospel ministry, not only in the home, but also in their churches? And so I believe we, in the near future, we can take advantage and look for more ways and opportunities for every congregation to unleash the full army of godly believers God has given to them, and find ways for both men and women to serve together.
Excellent. Well, we certainly appreciate the work and learning more about it from you here today, and we'll have more information about the conference available, and maybe even some of the live-streamed events that have been archived will be available as well. So thank you very much.
Thanks for making those resources available to us.
Don had to be certainly pleased with the conference, I would think, just kind of seeing the turnout and just the good stuff going on there.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a very rewarding experience for the committee planners who had worked mm-hmm. so hard for 3 years putting it together. They were already promoting their 2022 conference, so okay. they are planning to do it again in 3 years, so you
Neat.
Can count on that coming. I do want to put in a special plug for the Wells app. That was my little corner that I had the privilege of presenting on, and we actually had these ladies get out their cell phones, even though we were running over time. Give me 5 minutes, ladies. Get out your cell phones. Let's install the Wells app. And they totally did it in a very short order, and they were super excited about what they were seeing there. So if you don't have the Wells app, you should head over to wells.app in your phone browser bar or your tablet browser bar, and it'll pop up instructions on how to add it as an icon on your home screen. And then you'll have the Wells app and have all that great stuff. Surprisingly, one of the biggest oohs and ahs came from Wells Radio, something we don't talk about real
That's
often.
That's right. Yeah.
But people were excited to know that they could turn on a Christian radio station produced by
All
Wells.
All Wells artists, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good. So two thumbs up I'm hearing on the Wells Women Ministry Conference.
Yeah, I'll be beating down your door to go again, I'm sure. Awesome.
Be happy to send you. Great interviews you got there, too. And thanks to the three folks that took some time out of the conference to talk with you as well. That was awesome. So, all right, let's move on to our picks of the week. Sally, what's your pick this week?
Well, my pick of the week is tied to those interviews we were just mm-hmm. referencing, and I was going to share a little bit about how I made that happen, and it was really easy to do using my iPhone. I actually downloaded an app called Voice Recorder and Audio Editor, and they have a free version. That's what I use. They also have a pro version, which I believe is $5.99. So with the free version, it's just a basic voice recorder. The interface, the screen, looks like a cassette tape player, and it has buttons to, just like a cassette tape player would have had. Those of you that remember those from back in the day, a start and a record and stop button and a pause button. And then when you're done, you can save it. It actually gives you a variety of file formats. I didn't realize that till afterwards, but I could have saved in WAV. Sorry, I'm telling you now, because I saved in MP3, which is still a great format.
Fine.
And one thing that I really appreciated was you can export it in a lot of different ways. So it list email, text, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and Snapchat in the app description. But I actually was able to share it on Google Drive as well, and that was part of that free product. So it just integrated with my Google Drive, and I was able to upload the files right away on Google Drive, which is how I was able to share them with you, Martin, so that you could include them in the show. If you do the premium version, it offers transcription using speech-to-text technology, and it also lets you add notes to the recordings, and it's ad-free. So I was really pleased with that, but if you don't have an iOS device or you'd like to try some other options, I found an article, 9 voice recorder apps that won't miss a second. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes, as well as a link to the microphone I used. It's an iRig mic. So the end of the microphone plugged right into my headphone jack on my phone, and it's a nice directional mic. It wasn't picking up the air conditioned sound that was right in the rooms we were in, and some of the ambient noise that was happening around us. It I think produced a really high quality recording, given that it was done on my phone. So those are my picks of the week.
Yeah, I hope everybody agrees, as they just heard them.
Yeah, exactly.
But they sounded great to me. So good. It's amazing the things that you can do with a little pocket computer, so
true,
to speak. So very good. My pick of the week, there was a big day last week. I don't know if everybody recognized or knew about it, but July 17th every year is World Emoji Day. Actually, I didn't celebrate it real hard either, but it happened, and it jives nicely with my pick of the week. By the way, World Emoji Day, always July 17th. Sally, do you know why it is July 17th?
I don't. I need to be educated.
Because the calendar emoji denotes July 17th on it.
There
so,
you go.
That's why it's July 17th, World Emoji Day. Anyway, emoji are basically, they're becoming a language unto themselves. You know, there are people that speak emoji, and you know them when you get them, and maybe you're one of them that uses emoji whenever possible. Your phone makes it a lot easier. As you're typing along, it's suggesting emoji. But my tip is actually a tip that for those of you on Windows especially, that you can insert emoji into most documents these days. So whether that's a Word document or a OneNote file or whatever, anything that will receive an emoji, there is a keyboard shortcut that you can use to pop up an emoji keyboard layout, and that is the Windows key plus the period. So if I hit Windows key plus period, I'm going to get a whole list of emojis, and when I start typing letters, it's going to thin out or filter the emoji. So if I was looking for a smiley face or thumbs up or whatever, you would begin to type that word, and then it would show you those things that are relevant. Praying hands, et cetera, et cetera. So I was not aware of that. I didn't know that you could do that. But then you can just click on the emoji, and then it just gets inserted right into your document or email or whatever. Just kind of quick and easy way to get emoji, just to lighten things up, I think, a little bit too. So that's the Windows key plus the period on Windows. I think it's Windows 10. I can't vouch for Windows 7. I don't have a Windows 7 machine in front of me, but Windows 10, it's Windows key period. By the way, Emoji Day ran a contest for the most popular emoji. So they said everybody use the hashtag World Emoji Day and whatever your favorite emoji were. And any guesses on what the top three were? Any of the top three?
I'm sure a smiley face, right?
Kind of, yes. Smiling face with hearts was number one.
There you go.
Number two kind of surprised me. It's called Pleading Face. It's got the puppy dog eyes and the furrowed brows. Looks like somebody more in distress than anything else to me. But and then number three was Woozy Face, which looks like somebody who's maybe got a little heat stroke. Maybe some of those ladies in the LPS dorm last week would have the Woozy Face. But those were interesting. They do that every year. I didn't go back in time to do the comparison. But here's the 2018 winners. 2018. The winner was Smiley Face in 2018. So we've evolved. We've gotten a little bit fancier with our emojis.
I thought you would say one of the ones that are laughing, where the tears are coming out of the eyes.
That was
that was
second.
Okay.
In 2018.
All right, so we're beyond that.
And third, no, maybe 2017 it was. And then third was the shoulder shrug. I forget what that's called. Hmm. So. Anyway, wow. So you're up on your emoji news, and you've got a nice keyboard shortcut on Windows to get your emoji going on Windows machines. So
yeah, so I don't know what I was doing on Emoji Day, but somehow I missed it, and I've missed it in years previously. But I speak every night with my mom. She and I connect on via phone each evening just to see how her day is going and things like that. And she told me that they had a big celebration at her assisted living. And you know, it was like emu, or it's not emu, it's and she had the hardest time, and finally she spelled emoji for me. So it almost was World Emu Day, but it was World Emoji Day, and they celebrated with little icon decorations and a party. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
I'll awesome. Always remember World Emu Day.
Yeah, you can get emoji plush toys. And
there might
be
emojis
everywhere.
For emus, you know.
That's true.
So
is there
look.
An emu emoji?
We'll have to answer that question.
That's
I don't
a question
know.
For our listeners.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to community feedback.
Yeah, I just want to point out a couple of very active groups. We have several groups that we follow here on Wells Tech and contribute to the conversations where appropriate, but most often the communities are helping each other, one of which is our Wells Tech Google group, where you can subscribe, you can receive via email, or you can choose just to read it online if you want, different conversations that are happening. And one that was really popular had to do with ubiquity routers and a particular brand of or model of their routers and questions around setting those up. And it got way over my head. So I was really glad that there was a group for these people to find their answers with. And I think it resolved the person's issue who initially asked the question. They got their router up and working. So you can get really specific in the Wells Tech Google group, or you can just ask questions about antivirus or things like Flocknote, which is something I learned about through the Wells Tech Google group.
Yeah, I looked at the Flocknote webpage. I was not familiar with it, but basically it's a congregation communication tool. And for 40 Flock members or congregation members or less, it's free. So if you're a smaller organization, smaller church, you could try this out for free. And then there's, I'd say, fairly reasonable pricing. But what it gives you is kind of that communications platform that can email or text people who have signed up, who have subscribed. Just another way to kind of keep in touch with your folks. So if you're interested in something like that, maybe we'll do kind of a review with Cindy, who sent in the note about this, and see how that's going for her. And then ultimately, maybe we can recommend that to other folks here. But again, something I was not familiar with, but boy, a need, certainly, some way to coordinate communications to your membership.
Yeah, and I would guess it's not just a kind of a generic tool. It's specific
it's built for
congregations,
churches,
so
right.
I guess there's some features there that are helpful for churches specifically.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'd love to hear more about it. The other group that was in the conversation mode this week was Wells Google Schools. Now, some of you may remember that Wells Google Schools used to live on Google Plus, but unfortunately, Google Plus is now no more. And instead, Wells Google Schools has moved over to groups.io. It's really easy to be part of that group. You just have to set up an account and request membership, and one of the administrators will approve you. Recently, they were having a conversation around Chromebook inventory tools. So apparently there used to be a tool called Chromebook Inventory. Imagine that, the name of the plugin. And I think it worked with Google Sheets, and it would kind of get access to your administration area and bring up all the inventory information in a spreadsheet format. Unfortunately, that tool is no more. They switched to more of a paid version, and it's no longer available as Chromebook Inventory. And eventually, through the conversation, someone recommended a Google Sheets add-on called Chromebook Getter. And we'll throw a link in the show notes to that. Chromebook Getter apparently solve the problem. And the original poster wrote back and said, yeah, it's doing everything I need it to do, and the price tag is free. So just another reason to rely on that group think and come up with solutions to your tech and ministry issues.
Yeah, you may want to remind folks if they want to join that group, they've kind of changed their platform recently.
Right, they're on groups.io, so you head over there and create a free account and then request membership. It's pretty easy to do. I think you did that recently, right, Martin?
Yep, pretty easy. Yep, exactly. And then while you're sharing that information, why don't you share with folks how they can actually contribute to the show as well?
That's a great thing for people to know, because we love to hear from our Wells Tech community. So the best place to start is at wellstech.wells.net. That's our show notes website. There you'll find archives of 606, counting this show, podcasts that we've done over 11 plus years. And you'll find links to different social media channels and the different groups that we've talked about, as well as a way to send voicemail. So we'll take your comments via Twitter or Pinterest or Instagram or Facebook. And we would love to share your voice on the show if you do call in and send us a voicemail. So however you want to contact us, you'll find it there at wellstech.wells.net.
Yep, fill up that inbox. We'd appreciate it. Video of the week.
And this circles back to our topic for today. The Wells Women's Ministry Conference was at Luther Prep School, and the good folks at LPS were streaming all the plenary sessions as well as the worship events that happened at the conference. And because they streamed it, they also archived it, which is really exciting. You can go and watch those keynote speakers, and there were some really awesome keynotes. So if you weren't able to attend, check out the full list. We're going to feature the initial keynote, which is with a friend of Wells Tech, Pastor Mike Novotny. He was with us just a few weeks ago, and he was at the Wells Women's Ministry Conference. He did a keynote on chosen and precious, two terms that are in that 1 Peter 2 verses 4 and 5 text that he points out are true about Jesus and are true about all believers. And you will walk away with a better understanding of how he termed it, God. Mm-hmm. In all caps. You'll love this presentation, so definitely give it a watch.
Neat. Sally, about this time next week, we'll be in your old stomping grounds, New Ulm, Minnesota, Synod Convention time. Synod Convention 2019 comes up every other year, rotates around three of our Synod schools, and we're in New Ulm this year, and we're going to do a broadcast from there and hopefully catch a few more interviews from delegates or people involved with the convention and get their perspective and thoughts and just give you a little bit of a vibe of what a Synod Convention is like. So tune in for that. We'll probably even do a video for you.
Oh, boy. Looking forward to it. It's a paperless convention, knock on wood.
Paperless convention, yes.
So hoping all that goes well.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will actually talk to you next week. Bye-bye.